Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello, welcome in. It's a Wednesday edition of the Hoosier Report, and things are getting crazy in the Big Ten Conference as we come down the final streak. Purdue upset last night in a game against Minnesota, at Minnesota, and that keeps Michigan State and a couple others alive at the top of the Big Ten race. And Indiana, of course, is fighting for its postseason life. I tell you what, the Indiana story, and probably rightfully so, it is a really a great example of college basketball this year, and that there really aren't that many, I don't want to say good teams, but that many teams that are worthy of at-large considerations. There's so many that are so much alike. Indiana has found its way with a couple back-to-back wins and playing better here, back in the conversation, obviously, as we've been talking about all week in the postseason, but they also have found themselves on the national level. Like, I saw a story this morning in the Washington Post talking about the tournament and who's on the bubble, and Indiana's like the storyline there, the headline there. And there's been a couple other stories that have been produced mentioning Indiana and how odd it is that a team that was just under 500, you know, less than, what, 5 days ago, is now back in the conversation, and some people putting them in their field of 68 teams for the NCAA tournament. So, interesting stuff. And really, you know, I've said all along, you know, even when Indiana was doing bad, every Big Ten game matters. You know, these are all competitive games. You know, there really isn't an off night in the conference. So many cliche type things that I've used to describe games, and I guess other people have as well. But I mean, you want to talk about big games for Indiana, like Romeo Langford's going to be in Indiana for a year. They've got one opportunity to go to the NCAA tournament with him. I think all of us, and it's just rightfully so, when you get beat game after game after game and you go through seven-game losing streak, you think that it's over with, that there's absolutely no shot for this team to recover and have any chance of being in the discussion for the NCAA tournament when it's all said and done. Obviously, there's some things that have changed with Indiana, at least for right now, and obviously it's an odd year in college basketball with a lot of up-in-the-air type, middle-of-the-road teams that are fighting for non-conference bids. Indiana probably leading the pack as far as one of the more unexpected teams that's still in the race that you wouldn't expect to be. But now Indiana has a chance, and you want to tell me that these last two games are not huge for Indiana to win out the regular season and maybe secure things with a win in the Big Ten Conference Tournament? Absolutely they are. The good news is that the opponents left on the schedule are winnable games. Illinois and Rutgers, both winnable games for Indiana. They're teams that have struggled at points this year. Rutgers is still toward the bottom of the standings. Illinois is the team that is that dangerous potential stopping block when I look at things. And I've heard some other people yesterday. We had some fans out, a lot of IU discussion both on and off the air at Sardano's in Sellersburg yesterday. A lot of people concerned about that Illinois game. It's at Illinois. It's a team that's gotten better. It's a team that took a lot of lumps early in the season, early in the conference season, and it was a battle the last time that Indiana and Illinois played, and we'll see if Indiana can go over there and get a win. But I'm telling you, there is going to be a lot of interest on these last two games, some high stakes, postseason stakes for Indiana. They really, really desperately need to win out the regular season of Big Ten play to make sure that they've got a legit opportunity to be considered. And then it's going to take maybe a win or two, who knows, in the Big Ten Conference tournament. So I still think that there's maybe a bit of an uphill battle, but Indiana's been playing well, and maybe it's their time, and maybe they're back to playing how they did in the non-conference season with a lot of confidence and playing the game the right way and finding an additional scoring help here and there with Justin Smith stepping up the other night and other players that have stepped up recently as well. in their own regard or their own categories, however they best help the team. But interesting time for IU basketball. One other thing before we get too far into the show, thanks again for everybody that came out to Sir Dano's Pizza Parlor in Sellersburg yesterday. It's a great place. It's right across from Silver Creek Middle School, Silver Creek High School, at the intersection of 31 and 403, and it's always crowded. I've been there a number of times. It's always crowded at lunchtime, but I thought we had a really, really good crowd in there, especially for the 11 a.m. hour when we were live on the radio yesterday. A lot of IU gear, a lot of fans, a lot of people I know that listen to the program. Really appreciate everyone coming out yesterday. Really appreciative as well, Brandon Hoffman of Silver Creek and Joe Luce of Jeffersonville, both for finding their way there. Todd Satterley, the AD at Jeff as well, came by to join us for a second also to find their way out in the middle of the day, able to get away to talk about their teams and promote the regionals this weekend. A lot of good stuff. So if you missed that show yesterday, as always, it's available as a podcast on SoundCloud or Apple Podcasts, but a great show. We'll be doing that from time to time. We'll be taking the show around to some of our different sponsors. I think we've got something lined up here we're working on for next week or the following week, maybe at Barno's and their newer location in Jeffersonville. So we'll make an announcement about that coming up soon. But if you'd like to have our program out at your place in the lunch hour or anything, we'd love to get out and meet the listeners and help promote your business. And so we'd love to hear from you here at the Big X Sports Radio. But thanks again to a really good crowd. I thought we'd get, you know, some people out, but there was a nice crowd there yesterday. Very appreciative of people supporting this show and getting out and supporting Sir Dano's as well. Let's take a look at the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we've got our Hoosier headlines, a service of Honey Baked Ham, a service of Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. We'll tell you some of the big headlines from the Big Ten Conference last night. We'll take a look at Indiana and their conference tournament standings, but we'll take a look at Indiana and their NCAA tournament standings as well. And I ran across a unique situation. I always pay attention to the Kentucky State tournament. You know, it's still one class. Rupp Arena is where the boys' state tournament. They call it the Sweet 16. It's a really unique format. I've been there a number of times, and it's a lot of fun. A lot of fun. Know some of the guys coaching teams that are in the Sweet 16 this year. So I've been kind of keeping an eye on things from a distance as they get ready to begin the boys. But an interesting storyline I ran across yesterday with the Kentucky Mr. Basketball race. It's actually the winner. It's been announced, and I'll tell you about that coming up in the headlines in just a second as well. Then later in the program, Ken Bykoff of Pigs.com is with us. We're going to talk all about IU. Yeah, we'll talk more about IU's postseason hopes. We'll talk about IU's upcoming game as well when he joins us in segment two today. And then later in the program, Craig Pearson. He's the new sports editor for the News and Tribune. He's been in town now for, maybe a couple months, month and a half, doing some great work with the News and Tribune sports team. He's going to be with us in studio today. He'll be joining us for a regular segment on Wednesday to talk through some local sports and some of the headlines that might be interesting from a local perspective here in Southern Indiana. And he'll join me later in the program today right here in the Big X studio. That's the guest lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll receive $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's look at some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. You know, I mentioned that we talk a little more in the headlines about Indiana's postseason hopes. I'm looking at a Sports Illustrated article that came out yesterday, the headline of that article. Now, it talks about a lot of different teams in a lot of different potential bubble situations, but the headline of that article is Indiana is 2019's most polarizing bubble team. Then I see a story this morning, I mentioned this earlier, from the Washington Post, just kind of an analyst of the NCAA tournament bracket projection with some news and notes about where people stand on the bubble at this point. And again, these are national stories, national publications. The headline for the Washington Post, Indiana just got back over 500, and an NCAA tournament bid could follow. So Indiana really has kind of taken over as the poster child, maybe, for bubble teams for this 18-19 NCAA tournament. And again, that's going to be followed very closely now, not just from our IU fan base and people that are tracking Big Ten and all that, but even on a national level, Indiana's name is out there as a team that, you know, things could go really good to finish the year, and this could be a storybook thing that you little preview they have before the NCAA tournament game, first round that Indiana might play in, because of what a success it's been for Indiana to close the season. Or this could be just a glimmer of hope, a couple wins over back-to-back teams that are ranked, and Indiana falls apart in the next game. So it's still unsure, and I think a lot of people lack the confidence to say, you know what, Indiana's playing really good. I really think they're going to close out the season undefeated or without another loss. But I think some people are not real confident in saying that because of some of the bad moments that Indiana just previous to the last couple of weeks has experienced. Are they going to stay on track? Has this team figured out some of the things that was haunting them, maybe on and off the court? And I think they have. I really would be surprised if Indiana at least doesn't go down with a fight trying to win both of these regular season games. I think they'll beat Rutgers for sure. I think the game with Illinois is a little bit more in question, and we'll talk some about that with Ken Bykoff a little bit later. Also, Big Ten scores last night. You know, this conference race, it's hard to really think a whole bunch about it, but because there was a time where I was paying a lot more attention to the top of the conference and the race for the regular season championship because Indiana was so bad that you were looking for other things, and I love the conference this year. You were looking to other things to talk about and to follow the race between Purdue and Michigan State and Michigan. But I tell you what, some interesting scores last night. Michigan State, I should say, gets a big win over Nebraska at home, 91-76. They handled that in very good fashion. 24-6 overall now is Michigan State. 15-4 in the Big Ten is their record. Still at the top, still with a chance to have the Big Ten regular season championship this year. Think about that. 15-4 is what Michigan State is in the Big Ten Conference. Two of those four losses have been to the Indiana Hoosiers. That's really amazing. Purdue last night, on the other hand, I know this will kill a lot of IU fans. Maybe they'll crack a smile here, but Minnesota beats Purdue last night. On Minnesota's home court, there was a couple videos of the crowd rushing the court and Big Harms. Maybe, I don't want to say he was pushing anybody, but obviously into a little spat with a fan who mouthed off to him and maybe even gave him a hand signal of some kind. We'll see if anything comes of that. But Minnesota, wins 73-69. Purdue is 15-4 in the Big Ten Conference. Minnesota 9-10 in conference play. So that's a big upset last night, and I believe I'm correct here. If Purdue had won that game last night, I think they would have claimed at least a share of the regular season championship. I think I read that. Not 100% positive. But again, Purdue right there at the top, still with an opportunity to claim at least a share of the championship this season. It's going to be fun to follow that here over the next week as we watch Indiana on the edge of our seats, in the middle of the bottom of the conference, trying to still get a bid to the NCAA tournament. We'll be following that out of the other side of things as well. Also, the Mr. Basketball race in Kentucky. I've seen a lot of thoughts on both sides of this, but a player won it who averaged 42.9 points per game, 14.2 rebounds per game. But the problem is he hasn't played a high school basketball game this season since he injured his knee with a torn ACL back on December 22nd. His name is Deontay Allen. He is going to attend Kentucky and is somebody that was really the front runner or one of the front runners along with David Johnson, who's just across the river at Trinity, and a couple other players that had committed to play high-level Division I basketball from Bluegrass State this year. But Allen was right in the mix to be maybe Mr. Basketball, and when the guy starts the season off averaging 42, almost 43 points a game and 14 rebounds or more per game, you got to believe he's on a trajectory to get there and win the award. But no, he doesn't, or he wins the award, doesn't play since December 22nd. So there have been some people that say, hey, had a great career, one of the great players coming out of Pendleton County, started the season red hot, had a scoring average that was unbelievable. Yes, he absolutely deserves to be Mr. Basketball. Kudos to those voters and others that are involved in the panel to select that award in Kentucky for going ahead and giving him the award despite him missing the season. Maybe it takes the edge off of him losing his senior year and his chance to lead his team to the Sweet 16 in Lexington. Others saying, how in the world are you giving a big award, a major award, to a player that only played a fraction of the season, no matter what his averages are? How in the world can you justify that when you've got other players who have went on to play basically the entire season, minus a couple injuries here or there, and have very consistent stats as well? Nothing at 42 or 43 points a game like Allen had, but definitely a sticking point, a talking point right now. in advance of the Kentucky Sweet 16 state tournament at Rupp Arena that begins very soon. I'm kind of mixed on it. The guy is obviously good. You've got to wonder as well, how much did the Kentucky commit, the Kentucky factor, bring him maybe the award regardless what he had done this season or regardless how many games that he had played this season, being a commit to the in-state school from not the Louisville area. We know it's hard for others out in the state, it seems like, to get the support when you've got a really good player like a David Johnson from Trinity that's going to Louisville. You're going to lose a lot of votes automatically because of being from Louisville, just how it works in the state of Kentucky, a lot of politics there. But interesting, it's definitely a talking point for high school basketball in Kentucky right now as they get ready for their state tournament. Very interesting to see, you know, what the reasoning was and what generally people think. But people on both sides of it right now. That's a look at the headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill with fresh made-to-order food, a great selection of craft brews, and the best sports atmosphere around. Hoopsters has karaoke and a DJ on Friday nights, a live band on Saturday nights as well. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, it's where fun happens. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Ken Bykoff of Pigs.com, followed by Craig Pearson, sports editor of the News and Tribune, coming up a little bit later in the program, right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Wednesday program. Ken Bykoff, Pigs.com, is my guest. Lots of IU basketball discussion coming up in this segment. Ken, it's a very interesting time and exciting time, I guess, to follow the IU team. They're back in the postseason discussion. And I mentioned in the first segment today, going through our headlines, Indiana, the headline, the subject, the main subject at least, of a story this morning in the Washington Post about the bubble and how crazy it is this year. And also yesterday, a Sports Illustrated online article about Indiana, maybe the most polarizing bubble team of the 2018-19 season. So Indiana, what we've all been talking about now since Indiana kind of got hot again, is now kind of picked up on a national level as well as an example of how thin that line on the bubble really is this year.
Yeah, it is thin. And you know what? I think it's interesting because they're a team that I don't think deserves it. And, you know, look, you can't win three games in 2019. And I guess they're at four games now. And have it be early March and be in that discussion. I understand the idea of quad one wins and all of this kind of stuff. But to me, you just can't discount all of January except for the first game against Illinois. And most of February, and then you say, hey, well, they won a couple of games late. To me, it is, for your Michigan State sweep, that's certainly great. For beating Wisconsin at home in double overtime, that's great. But to me, it just doesn't outweigh getting thumped at home by Nebraska. Or, you know, it just turning in a terrible performance at Rutgers, a terrible performance at Minnesota. That's kind of my problem with all of this. You know, I know that there is a desire to have Big Ten teams in the NCAA tournament, and I just hate to see the situation Indiana has, where they have lost so much. And at one point, you know, they was open the season 12-2, and then went 2-12. To me, that you know evens out. I understand the argument, and I understand why people want Indiana to be in that argument, because there are times when they look really impressive. But to me, if you're going to really be honest about the regular season actually meaning something, going 2-12 over a 14-game stretch should take you out of the conversation as far as I'm concerned.
Ken Bykoff, Pigs.com, talking about Indiana and their postseason opportunity. You know, I understand what you're saying. I think a lot of Indiana fans probably hate to hear what you just said, because obviously that's the prize at the end of the year to get into the tournament. And Indiana, at least on, you know, the people that project this stuff and guess on this stuff and write about this stuff, Indiana has, you know, made a case to them to get back in the discussion. would it, in your opinion, if Indiana wins out the regular season, which I think almost has to happen for them to get an ideal look at it, is it one win? Is it two wins in the Big Ten Conference? And I know where you stand, but as far as what you think could get them in this year based on the bubble and how things are, is it two wins in the regular season and two conference wins? Is it two wins in the regular season and a conference win? Or does a lot of that still depend on what happens with other things?
Well, you know, the thing that I find interesting here is that, yeah, you have, this team went 15-14, and I'm saying, you know, this isn't a team that belongs in there. By that same token, I'm not on that committee, and I'm not the one that goes through all of that. And so when you're being realistic about it, not what in Ken Bykoff world it should be, but in realistic world, what everything is, going 15-14 at this point, winning two more games gets you to 17-14. You win a game in the Big Ten tournament. You get two games in the Big Ten tournament. I think they're going to get in. And finishing the season at 17-14, because to me, you can't lose again. I mean, that is simple. You cannot lose again. On the road at Illinois, at home against Rutgers, you cannot lose either one of those games. And then the Big Ten tournament, to me, if you want to feel comfortable, you have to get two games in the Big Ten tournament. But, you know, there's a lot of different things that go into it. And to me, there are times when Indiana absolutely looks like an NCAA tournament team. There are other times when they do not at all look like an NCAA tournament team. So you just don't know which team is going to show up. Now, the positive for this team is the fact that it is finishing strong. So the light came back on after that loss at Minnesota. And even those losses at home to Purdue, on the road at Iowa, neither one of those losses were anything that Indiana needed to hang its head about. And so the fact that the light has come on and Indiana has scored two straight wins is important, because they are competing with some of the best teams in the country. That's what this Illinois game is going to be so interesting to me about, because, yeah, it's great that you won at home against Wisconsin and against Michigan State. It was by a total of 3 points for the two games. One of them went to double OT. By the same token, some of those losses Indiana has had have been close games. So this is a team that can compete every time out. But to me, in order to feel comfortable on Selection Sunday, you have to close out your regular season and probably win two games in the Big Ten tournament to feel a little bit more confident.
We're talking with Ken Bykoff of the Pigs.com website, IU Basketball, the discussion. Let's talk about the Illinois game. Obviously, Illinois, a team that started off not very good this season or in the conference, but they've gotten better. And when you look at that game, because it is on the road and because it is a team that's improved, and because Indiana's back is truly against the wall in this situation, it's a very concerning game, I think, for a couple different reasons.
Yeah, I mean, it's a trap game on the road. There's no question that you're coming off two very emotional games. You're going to be playing Illinois on senior night. So, I mean, it's a big deal. The thing with Illinois is that, yeah, they've gotten better, but it's just because they were in such bad shape earlier this season. Because, you know, this is still a team that can fail to show up at times. And that's something that, yeah, they have the nice win against Michigan State, but, you know, they also have these wins against Nebraska and Rutgers and, some of these other teams that are not great. The loss at home to Penn State is something that should at least raise some eyebrows. So, I mean, this is an inconsistent Illinois team, to be sure. And it's one that just recently got blown out by Purdue. They are all over the board, which means that they should be hungry for this one. They should be ready to close out on a high note. And Indiana certainly has to be ready to come and play at a high level from the opening tip. It's just a matter of, it's Indiana needing to take care of their business, because they handled them against in Bloomington earlier this year, a team that was just starting to teeter a little bit. I think Indiana has something to prove in this one. And then Illinois is very, very dangerous, because they feel like they can be better than they are and have shown it at times. It's just a matter of Indiana being able to defend and make sure that they are smart with the ball and take good shots and don't try to turn it into a three-point shooting contest, because that's a game Indiana's going to lose.
Talking with Ken Bykoff. Ken, I always, when I watch games or when I have guys like you on each day to talk about IU basketball that know a lot more about it than me. Generally, you try to go to the positive topics. You know, Justin Smith played well, so let's talk today with whoever about Justin Smith a lot. Or, you know, Romeo's a great topic that people love to hear about, and, of course, Juwan Morgan. But I'm going to bring this up to you and let you take it where you want. How frustrating of a player is Devontae Green to watch sometimes? I just simply, from the very start of this season until recent games, at times with what he's trying to do within the offense, shots that he takes, passes that I think he should make that he doesn't. And these are all things I've seen consistently throughout the season. It's not just like it's one or two games. He's been very, very frustrating, I think, for IU fans in general to watch this year. Do you agree? And what is your opinion on him and what he can bring or does bring to this team?
And to me, there is a disconnect between what his skill level is and what he believes it to be. And where that disconnect comes is just his streaky nature, because there are times when he can create off the dribble, he can knock down outside shots, but he's just not consistent with it. And then there's the little things that go into playing basketball, such as delivering a pass right in the right spot to a teammate to do something with it. It is knowing the speed of a pass to deliver. It is recognizing where you are on the floor, what the shot clock is at, what your team is trying to accomplish. All of that is part of the equation, and Devontae hasn't found that part of the equation. There's no question when he's playing, under control and playing his role on the team, he's very effective. I mean, you look against Michigan State, he didn't take a lot of bad shots. He just played smart. And when he plays smart, Indiana is infinitely better. Against Wisconsin, he took a step back three. Indiana's up by 13. Wisconsin hits a three to cut it to 10. And Devontae decided it was on him to try to answer that three. And when he does that, you could see a little difference in his body language, where he kind of just gets his shoulders going a little bit. There's a little hop to his step. And he took a step back three, missed it, and that helped trigger Wisconsin's run, a 20-3 run. And it's those little things that he has to avoid, because it's not Devontae's time at that point. He doesn't have the consistency or the skills to take over a game. When he plays within what Indiana wants him to do, when he picks his spots on when he's open and recognize the difference between having a good shot and an open shot, he's an important part of the lineup. To me, Justin Smith and Devontae Green are as important, if not more, than Romeo Langford and Juwan Morgan, because Romeo and Juwan, you know what you're going to get from them. It's that question about what you're going to get from Justin and Devontae that really is kind of it's the X factor in this team to me, how those guys play. And Devontae in particular, just being smart with the ball, playing within himself and not trying to do too much, is absolutely critical to the success of this team.
We're talking with Ken Bykoff. Lots of topics covered today on IU basketball. You know, I want to jump ahead for a moment and talk about the Big Ten tournament. Indiana still has, as we've discussed, a lot of work to do in the regular season to close out, we think, the chance there for two wins, but it won't come easy, especially that road game at Illinois. But the conference tournament, Ken, it's something that historically, at least since the tournament has been around, really, it's one of the later high major conferences. Or was it the last high major, or was the Pac-10 the last conference to add a tournament? Do you recall?
I think it was the Pac-10 that was the last one to do it. But when you look at what Indiana has done in that tournament, it's not good. I mean, look, there are five teams that have not won a Big Ten tournament, and it's Minnesota, Northwestern, Penn State, Rutgers, which just joined a couple years ago, and Indiana. I don't think Maryland's won one either, but they did previously have one in another
ACC.
In the ACC, yeah. But they've struggled there. There's no question, and there's no rhyme or reason for it. And they've been competitive to it. And the fact that Indiana's only been in the title game of that tournament, I think, once, really is kind of mind-blowing when you talk about a program that that just has the tradition that Indiana has had. there's no question that there needs to be for Indiana just a focus on this weekend and say, hey, you know, we need to change some things and change the history of this, because it's an important part of it. And I know that in the early years, Coach Knight didn't really care for the idea of a conference tournament, and you know, he didn't care at all if his team didn't play a couple of games in the tournament, in the Big Ten tournament. Now it's becoming important, and I think that it's, once Indiana is able to break through and get to the weekend, which is something they haven't often done, it's been early outs, I think that it's going to be important. But yeah, there's no question that when you're talking about needing to get a couple of wins in a tournament, Indiana hasn't been able to do it in the past. The good news for this year's team is what happened in previous years is absolutely meaningless to what happens with this team this year, and it's all going to depend on what their mindset is going into that game.
Can you see Justin Smith using the big performance the other day? He's rebounded the ball well at times. He's been athletic. You know, just that's who he is. He's done some positive things. I don't want to make it sound like he hasn't, but can you see him with that big breakout scoring performance, maybe taking his game or his role on this team in the final weeks of regular season and in the conference tournament to another level?
You hope that the light has come on, because he's a guy that can do it. I mean, he's done some really nice things this year. At times, whether it be a double-double at Michigan State, you know, the 24-4 over the weekend against Wisconsin, he scored 12 points. There are times this year when he has looked really, really kind of like the player that you expected him to be this year. And you hope that the light comes on. Will it? I don't know. It's really interesting. This team, every time it takes the floor, you don't know what you're going to get. And furthermore, you might not know what you're going to get in the first half compared to what you get in the second half. It's just the inconsistency of this group that is concerning every time they take the floor. But there's no question Justin Smith has the skills to be an important part of this program and one of the X factors here, because, again, you know what you're going to get from Romeo. You know what you're going to get from Juwan. All year the talk has been about that third option. Who's it going to be? And I'm okay with it being different guys in different games, but there's no question that Justin Smith is a guy that you just want to see more consistency from.
Yeah, no question. Ken Bykoff, Pigs.com. Ken, great stuff from you. Thanks so much for taking time out to join us today. I always enjoy our conversations, and I know we'll connect again soon.
Enjoyed it. Take care.
Absolutely. Ken Bykoff, Pigs.com. Ken is also host of the Pigs podcast, which is on the Pigs.com site. It's free. It's another great audio opportunity if you like to hear things on IU. He does a great job after each game having something for you that next morning, late that evening, to kind of break down the previous game. Ken is a great guy, and I really appreciate him taking time out to join us. Want to remind you, the Big X Sports Radio Pizza Tour card is available online at BigXSportsRadio.com. Now, you got to check this out. You can enjoy the best pizza in Southern Indiana with an absolutely gigantic discount. You've got special offers on the card from Berno's, Boomba's Tap House, and Sardano's in Sellersburg, where we were at yesterday for the Hoosier Report. The pizza card has a value of $150 if you added up all the food among the three different pizza places on the card, but you can buy yours today for $59 at BigXSportsRadio.com. There's not a big supply. The cards are selling. You can get online and order one today at BigXSportsRadio.com. And again, lots of food on this card. And for $59, you're going to be able to feed a large family, to be quite honest with you, three different times. It's very, very much worth the discount that you're getting. So check that out today. And again, we were at Sardano's yesterday, just like all three places. It's great food and some great, great offers from all three of those places on the card that you can take advantage of. And really, you get your money's worth. You eat one meal, you're going to more than have paid for what you pay for the card, at least. But it's got a value of $150 on it, and you pay just $59. A couple other things before we head to a commercial break. Of course, we're getting ready for the regionals on Saturday in the high school basketball tournament. Going to be a lot of fun to check those out. Of course, Seymour is a local regional of interest. That's where Jeffersonville is at. The first game at Seymour on Saturday. Jasper at 16-9. They will take on Center Grove and Trace Jackson Davis at 19-8. The second game, Bloomington South, 23-3. They take on Jeffersonville at 19-5 in that second contest. Jeff playing really well. Bloomington South, very solid team. They've gotten better as the season has went on as well. I think that morning game will be great, and I would love to see Jeffersonville match up in the night with Center Grove and Trace Jackson Davis. That would obviously be really interesting to see a local team go against Trace Jackson Davis, an IU commit, an IU signee for the 2019 class. Also at Southridge, that's where Silver Creek is at. Batesville, 15-10. They take on Princeton at 20-5. I understand Princeton is good, maybe a sleeper in that regional that's had a really good year and flying under the radar a bit. Evansville Memorial, where Pat Graham helps coach. His son, Cade, is on the team. They are 16-9 on the season. They take on the homestanding Silver Creek Dragons from our area, 21-3. Silver Creek really a favorite in that regional, not just in that second game of the semifinals, but in the whole regional. We'll see if they can get through. Breakthrough for Silver Creek into the semi-state round when they participate at Southridge on Saturday. In 2A, the local regionals at Paoli, no one really that local to us. Paoli, I guess, is the closest team. They're at 23-3 on the year. They've had a great year. They've got Brett Bosley, who's a young player, very intriguing player. I don't know that he'll be a high major college basketball player, but he definitely will play somewhere solid at the Division I level, I would think, from a mid-major perspective. Paoli takes on Linton Stockton, who's 24-3. I understand they're really good again this year. Southwestern Hanover, they're ranked number one in 2A, and they're 25-1. Remember, they got past Jeffersonville. They beat Jeffersonville, and they beat them going away in a regular season game. And they, again, have had a terrific year. They take on Tell City, who likewise is having a really good year, 20-5. They're coached by Matt Lynch, a former New Albany player and New Albany assistant coach. Tell City has had a really good year. I will be at Paoli for the morning, and then from there may make a move to see Jeffersonville or Silver Creek at night. But I'll tell you what, Tell City and Southwestern, that should be a great game. Paoli and Linton Stockton, they tell me that that's going to be sold out. People at all four of those schools begging for tickets, trying to find out how to get more tickets, and that it's a very, very tough seat to get. And I think the environment at Paoli, even though we don't have a real local team there, will be really cool, especially for the morning game. 1A is at Lagodi. Lanesville is our local team there. They take on West Washington, who is 10-15 on the year, but found a way to win that sectional. Lanesville 14-11. Of course, they upset Christian Academy in the championship game out at Borden last Saturday night. Second game of the day, Evansville Day, 11-11 on the year. They take on Bar Reeve at 23-2 on the year. So not all great records is what I'm trying to say in that 1A regional, but Bar Reeve, of course, the favorite. We'll see if Lanesville, who's playing really good right now, can stay on the winning path as well. As far as the Big Ten tournament goes, I was looking at IU's schedule talking with Ken. Of course, March 7th, tomorrow they're at Illinois. March 10th on Sunday, that's the close of the Big Ten regular season for the Hoosiers when they host Rutgers to a noon game on Sunday to close out the regular season of play. But you want to talk about some fun this year, and I don't know if I can swing it or not with everything going on, but the Big Ten tournament, it runs next Wednesday, March 13th through next Sunday, March 17th. In Chicago at the United Center. That's going to be a lot of fun. I mean, obviously, if you're an IU fan, you want to go see Indiana, get business done, get in maybe closer to the NCAA tournament, and have some success there as well. But take Indiana out of it, just some really good matchups that could unfold as the week goes on, especially when you get into Friday and Saturday and Sunday with the championship game, with how good the Big Ten has been from top to bottom this year. But the Big Ten Conference Tournament will be a lot of fun to follow next week. A lot of games on, of course, and other conferences as well. And really, to me, next week is the official start of March Madness, and I'm sure that's true for a lot of you guys as well. We'll head to a commercial break. When we come back, the new, or fairly new, I should say, sports editor Craig Pearson of the News and Tribune will be with us. We'll talk about some of those regionals. We'll talk a little bit about some of the local sports headlines as well here in Southern Indiana, and we'll do that next to close out this Wednesday program after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back on this Wednesday program. Craig Pearson, he's the new sports editor at the News and Tribune, a great local source for coverage of all things sports and much more, of course, here in Southern Indiana. He joins me by phone today. And, Craig, it's great to have you with us. I look forward each week to not only getting to know you a little bit better, but talking about some of the big headlines in Southern Indiana sports and, of course, promoting your great coverage in the News and Tribune. And you're here at a good time of year. It's the postseason, sectional basketball just complete. We've got the regionals heading up this weekend. What's been your take so far on basketball here in the far southern part of the state?
Absolutely. Yeah, first of all, Matt, yeah, it's a pleasure to be here. Yeah, pleasure to be on the show. When I first interviewed for the job, it was like, you know, the first thing I did is, wow, I knew I'd heard about Floyd Central because I was in Terre Haute, and I knew about Kobe Barnes and that sort of thing, and then I heard a little bit about Silver Creek as well, but then, you know, I also saw that Jeff had a great team and New Albany. Everyone knew about New Albany at that point, and their rich history too, but... all of that was appealing when coming down here. So yeah, it's very much lived up to my expectations, and it's been a lot of fun to, you know, just try to get around to see every team play, and getting the postseason play has been absolute. I was at Seymour, and I got to Paoli or to Crawford County as well, and saw Clarksville and Providence in an epic game over there as well. So yeah, it's just been a lot of fun so far.
Talking with Craig Pearson. He's the sports editor at the News and Tribune. Again, you can always read coverage of all the things that Craig and I talk about at newsandtribune.com/sports. When you think about postseason basketball and you think about Seymour and you know the tradition that exists in that sectional, and New Albany, of course, coming through there in recent years with Romeo Langford, and the crowds have been fantastic, and obviously people across the state, I know you were in Terre Haute, as you mentioned, have been well aware of the interest in that sectional now for a number of years. What was your expectations going into it this year, and what did you think as it happened and once it's now in the books as it is with the crowd? Sure. And with some of the environment that was there this year? Because, yeah, it wasn't last year. It wasn't Romeo level, but I still thought, especially that Friday night game with two great matchups on paper, that first game didn't necessarily work out that way. The New Albany Floyd game obviously was just a classic matchup, but I thought that crowd was terrific. Your thoughts on that and the environment, maybe the expectations you had and what it ended up being?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, obviously I saw photos of people lined up to get into Seymour last year and everything, and just can't imagine what that atmosphere was like, your expectations were a little more reserved going into this one, and you know the crowd wasn't going to quite be like that, but like you said, I agree that, you know, the Floyd New Albany atmosphere was electric, and obviously ended in a fitting manner for that type of atmosphere, and you know, you feel, but it's heartbreak for one team as well. When Floyd had such a great year, you know, you just feel incredible, you know, loss for them and having that great season come to an end. But Derek Stevenson just, you know, he came up big all year long. So that was not surprising that he was able to knock down a big shot right there. And, you know, yeah, to plug my Twitter account, it's at Craig Pearson NT. I had a video of that play and the celebration afterwards, and that kind of went crazy on Twitter and spread like wildfire. I was amazed. But that atmosphere was absolutely, it lived up to it. And you knew going in, I expected going into it that any of those three teams could win that sectional. So, to me, the fact that, you know, New Albany beat Floyd wasn't that shocking. The fact that, you know, Jeff and New Albany played in the final, not that shocking. I thought Jeff or any of those three teams could come away with it, I guess, is all I'm saying.
Greg Pearson, he's the News and Tribune sports editor and with us Wednesdays here on the program. We've got, of course, Jeff in 4A. They're right back at Seymour on Saturday with a tough game against Bloomington South to open regional play. Then also Silver Creek from our immediate area. They rolled through the sectional as many thought they might, and we think, I think a lot of people think, that they've got a chance to maybe do the same. Maybe not by the margins they did in the sectional,
right,
but as far as getting to that semi-state is a very possible thing this year with the talent that the Dragons have and other teams in that four-team field that they'll have to go against. Your kind of thoughts on both teams, starting with Jeff, as we get closer to regional weekend?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, like you were talking about earlier, just some intriguing possibilities with, you know, obviously Bloomington South and J.R. Holmes in a year where he, you know, becomes the all-time wins leader in Indiana. And he has a very nice team. You know, I saw him I saw Silver Creek nearly beat them up there. Should have beat them and kind of let a little small little lead slip away late. And, I think Jeffersonville has more athletes. I think what I love about Jeff's team is that, you know, you don't know who's going to lead him in scoring. You know, three guys are averaging double figures, but Will Lovings Watts is averaging almost 12 points a game over the last half of the year. And Devin Franklin, the sophomore guard, is lighting it up from outside. It's just a team that I wouldn't bet against right now. You know, I think they're going to be able to be right there with Bloomington South and see if they can make some plays in crunch time and get a win. So, you know, and then, yeah, potentially you got to think Center Grove maybe is the favorite to win that other game, and that's the matchup you'd like to see in the final. I agree with you on that. As far as Silver Creek, it seemed like they caught a break when, like, Bossy got beat, Greensburg got beat, but it's still a very tough sectional field. If those teams, you know, got past Bossy and Greensburg, et cetera, they're there for a reason, and it's going to be a, you know, tough regional for them. And, you know, it sounds like Evansville Memorial will be a challenge right out of the gate. But, you know, yeah, if I had to pick a favorite, I think Silver Creek is the favorite to win that regional. And their experience, their sophomore duo, I think they're a team that should get to state this year. You know, I think I've thought that for some time here, that I think they're going to get there this year.
Yeah, interesting to hear that. I think a lot of people think that the talent Silver Creek has, that possibility, that opening exists maybe for a run deeper than what they've had in recent postseasons, and even beyond this year, when you look at some of your key players being young prospects that are coming along nicely, you've got to think that Silver Creek might be a team in the future that can get there as well. But why not now, when you've got such a great group of young players, but also those key seniors that mean so much?
Absolutely.
I think sometime in postseason play, we all get caught up on talent and who's got the most talent and who's being recruited by who. Often we forget about the leadership and those players that have been through some of these key roles and these key moments in one-and-done basketball, and that's what Silver Creek has this year, that great level of experience from top to bottom that I think makes them a really hard out for somebody, whether it happens this weekend or in the semi-state or the state final, or maybe they go all the way and win the whole thing, as you mentioned. I mean, they're going to be a tough out for somebody because of the combination of things that that team puts forth. Do we still have Craig? Are you still there? Craig Pearson, News and Tribune, may have lost him. We'll see if we can get him back to close the program. Again, Craig is fairly new in the job, and he'll be with us Wednesdays as we talk through local sports headlines coming up. Craig, are you back with us?
Yeah, I apologize.
Okay.
No problem. A call coming in or something on my phone.
We've got. Go ahead.
Okay, yeah, sorry, what you were building off on there with Silver Creek, absolutely, you know, they're those veterans. And to quickly plug one story, like we had a great postseason special section that we were pretty proud of, and I had a nice story about those seniors for Silver Creek, just great gentlemen. There are those Jack Hawkins and Zane Gross and Ty Kessinger, just some great great kids that I enjoyed talking to, and put together a little package story on those kids. So go to newsandtribune.com and look that one up if you missed that. So, anyways,
absolutely. And again, lots of coverage of the regionals, previews, and of course, game stories forthcoming from Craig and his team at newsandtribune.com/sports. Craig, thank you. We look forward to doing this on Wednesdays and getting your input on some of the headlines in Southern Indiana sports. We'll talk high school stuff. We'll talk other things that become prominent as we work our way into a slower period, unfortunately, when we get into the off season in the late spring and the summer. But look forward to having you with us, having you to be a regular part of our program, and we sure welcome you to the area.
Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate it, and thanks for having me on. I'm looking forward to doing this each week.
Absolutely. And again, Craig Pearson, new sports editor at the News and Tribune. Have enjoyed his work, and look forward to a partnership of sorts as we continue that with the News and Tribune and the Big X Sports Radio here in the coming months. That'll wrap things up for this Wednesday program. Don't forget, if you missed anything yesterday, today, any day here on the program, we're on podcast, Apple Podcast, as well as SoundCloud as well. Those are two very easy ways to track us down. If you miss a segment or maybe a full show and you want to go back and listen, you can do so through our SoundCloud and Apple Podcast account. Just point your browser to soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. Again, soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report, or you can search for us in Apple Podcasts, The Hoosier Report, and find us there. Have a great Wednesday. Be back on Thursday. Alex Bozich is with me of Inside the Hall. He will join us. Lee Kelly is in studio with me as well. So lots of basketball talk tomorrow, both local and, of course, IU. It's also game day for IU as they play really the last real tricky game to me at Illinois tomorrow evening, and we'll have that here on the Big X as well. Have a great day. Talk to you tomorrow. It's the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.